Welcome to Chapter 20 on the Aorist Participles. Like our last chapter, these participles will be verbal adjectives. They'll have part of them that function adjectivally with number, gender, and case, and other parts of the participle will be verbal, that is, they will have tense and voice. For the aorist, we'll have three voices. There'll be an active, middle form, and then a separate passive form, just as we have in the indicative. The aorist participle will also come in a first aorist, as we'd expect, with the sigma stuck in, and then we'll have a second aorist, which will be formed in a different way, both meaning the same thing. So let's jump in and explore these aorist participles, but before we do, let's do a quick review of the Lord's Prayer. Say the first part of the Lord's Prayer with me.
Pater heimon ho en tois uranois hagias theto to onomasu. Altheto he basileia su genetheto to thelema su.
Now say this second part with me.
Hos en urano kai epiges. Ton ar ton, heimon ton, epiusion dos heimin semeron.
And this final section of the Lord's Prayer for us.
Kai aphis heimin, ta ophe lema ta heimon, hos kai heimesa feka mentoiso feletais heimon.
And because this is a new section, let's try it one more time.
Kai aphis heimin, ta ophe lema ta heimon, hos kai heimesa feka mentoiso feletais heimon.
Previously, we had looked at the present participles, which were more continuous action, often contemporaneous and using the word while with adverbial forms, but that they could also be antecedent or subsequent. So the time factor faded into the background with participles, even more so than in the indicative, as the participles are very flexible. The aorist participle will be undefined action. Undefined means that it just states that the action took place, without specifying time or much other semantic weight there. Usually they'll be antecedent, using the word after with them, but oftentimes when they come with an aorist main verb, they can also be contemporaneous. So again, you can't push the time issue with these participles. But we'll use the keyword after as a good place to begin with adverbial usages of the aorist participle. There are four usages of the aorist participle we want to look at. We've seen three of these already, and to those three we want to add a fourth here, which will also apply back to the present participles. First, there's the adjectival use, and this is when the participle actually modifies a noun. So, for example, we have the woman who sat on the right. The who sat on the right tells which woman, modifying it. This adjectival form may and often does take the article with it. Note here that we did not add an ing verb. We didn't say the woman who was sitting. We just used a regular verb, the woman who sat. And that's the way we want to take the participle here rather than trying to force the ing into this form. So the boy who came rather than the boy who was coming. Now, the adverbial use was anarthrous, that is, without the article, and in the aorist, we'll use the keyword after. After running up the hill, she sat. But there are also other adverbial usages, the causal use, say, using because of, or instrumental, using by, and various ways, functioning just almost as flexible as the adverb itself, modifying how or when or why a verb happens. The substantive use comes with the article, but there's no noun to be modified, so it takes over the nounal function then, becomes a substantive. The one who sat there was my sister. The one who sat takes the role of the subject the same way a noun would. Now the fourth category we're adding here is that the participle may act as a verbal substitute, substituting for the indicative form, or later on we'll see the imperative form. So the participle is extremely flexible, being able to act as an adjective, an adverb, a noun or substantive, and here even a verbal form. Here's a handy chart that Dan Wallace developed for looking at the participle. He divides them into independent and dependent types. The verbal is independent, and it can be a substitute for either an imperatival or an indicative type verb. The independent can also be adjectival, in terms of being a substantive, and it can be functioning then even as a subject of the sentence or the object or some other substantive kind of role, nounal kind of role in the sentence. Now, dependent forms are the adverbial, and they can be temporal, and in this case we're taking them as after, where the action is antecedent to the main verb, or causal, means, manner, and other ways that the adverbial answering how or why or when a verb is functioning. And then the last category is dependent, which is adjectival use, and it can be used as either an attributive or as a predicate use, almost exactly the same way as we had with the regular adjective. So this chart just shows the flexibility of the usages of the participle. Now let's look at the voice of the participle. The active voiced participle, the word the participle modifies will do the action of that participle. So for example, the man who ran to the store was the first to come. So who did the action of the verb ran? It was the man. So ran modifies man, and therefore it takes an active voice. The man does the action of the running. Now the middle voice may either be translated as active, where the action of the participle focuses on the participation of the actor, or self-interest, or even sometimes reflexive. So, for example, after freeing for himself, he ran to the store. Or, reflexively, after freeing himself, he ran to the store. Or, emphasizing the actor's participation of the verb, after freeing, he ran to the store. Simply translated as an active in English. Now the third voice is the passive voice, and this is where the noun that it modifies receives the action of the participle. So the boy who was stung by the bees ran. The boy receives the action who was stung, receives the stinging, and therefore a passive voice would be used here. So as we have in the case of other aorists, we have an active voice, separate forms for the middle, and then separate forms once again for the passive voice, so it is going to be for these aorist participles. Now here's how the first aorist participle is actually formed. In the masculine and neuter, you'll notice that there is no augment, but it starts right out with the stem, lu, from luo. There's a first aorist sa insert, which we're used to, first aorist, sa, sa, everywhere a sa, sa. And then you've got the participle, nun, tau, insert, and then the third declension endings. So you've got
lusantos,
the genitive singular. So you say, this looks pretty easy. The endings are pretty similar. It's just you got to remember to put the sa in there. And so they are fairly easily formed. The feminine, as you'd expect, no augment. The augment is actually found in the indicative and not found elsewhere. So no augment in the participle and other forms except for the indicative. So it starts out with the stem, lu, from luo. You've got the aorist, sa, stuck in. And then you've got the participle, takes an extra sigma here, which is different than our u form that we had in the present participle, takes another sigma. And then our first declension, ace endings for the genitive singular. So it's lusaces. And that's the genitive singular for the feminine. So fairly easily formed. And our next slide will show the paradigm for the first aorist participle. Here is a paradigm of the first aorist active participle. In the masculine, you have lusas for the nominative,
lusantos,
genitive singular, lusanti, dative singular, and lusanta, accusative singular. So it simply takes the sa with the third declension endings on it. For the feminine, you have lusasa, lusases, lusase, and lusasan. The simple endings for the first declension, jumping back and forth between the alpha and the eta endings, as we've seen so many times before. The neuter takes the third declension endings as well. So we have lusan,
lusantos,
lusanti, and lusan, where the nominative and accusative are exactly the same, and the genitive and dative match exactly the masculine forms. So this is a 3-1-3 configuration, fairly easily formed. Just remember the sa in there and the dropping of the augment. No augment on the participle. The three usages, we've got the adjectival use, hu loosed. The adverbial use, temporally, after loosing, antecedent action. And substantival, the one who loosed. And now for the first aorist active participle plurals. The masculine forms are lusantes, lusanton, lusasi, and lusantas. Exact endings that we'd come to expect. The only difference is we've got a sa stuck in and the dropping of the augment. The feminine forms, lusasai, lusason, lusasais, and lusasas. Feminine endings that we've come to expect. And then back to the third declension for the neuter, lusanta, lusanton, lusasi, and lusanta. Nominative accusative being exactly the same, the genitive and dative neuter being the same as the genitive dative for the masculine. No surprises here, and that's a good thing. And how are the first aorist middles formed? Well, in the masculine neuter, you take the stem, which is lu, from luo. You've got the aorist insert, sa. You've got the participial insert, men, which we've seen in the present tense. And then just this flat old second declension,
logos,
this kind of ending. So you have
lusamenos
for the nominative singular first aorist participle. The feminine form is equally as easy. You've got the stem, lu. Notice again the augment is dropped in this aorist. The aorist insert, sa. The participle insert, men. And then the first declension endings, a. So it's lusamene. Easily formed, the pattern is going to be a simple 2-1-2 for the masculine, feminine, and neuter of the middle voice. Very easily recognized. Don't really need to memorize these, but just learn how they're formed. And we know that already. So here's the paradigm for the first aorist middle participle, the 2-1-2 format. For the nominative masculine singular, you've got
lusamenos,
lusamenu, lusameno,
lusamenon, os, u, o, on.
Ending is exactly taken from
logos,
second declension. The feminine, similarly, is easy. You've got lusamene, lusamenes, lusamene, lusamenein. The a, ace, a, ain endings, straight from graphe, with the feminine first declension. Then jumping over to the neuter, second declension endings tagged on.
Lusamenon,
lusamenu, lusameno,
lusamenon.
Nominative accusative, exactly the same.
Hieron.
Types endings.
On, u, o, on.
Endings from
hieron.
And the genitive and dative exactly the same in the neuter as the masculine. And these are translated, who loosed for himself, or after loosing for himself, or who loosed for himself, or simply translating them active. Who loosed, after loosing, and the one who loosed. The plural middle forms, exactly as we'd expect. Lusamenoi, lusamenon, lusamenois, lusamenus. For the masculine, second declension forms are used there, oi, on, ois, us. First declension used on the feminine middle participle, lusameni, lusamenon, lusamenais, lusamenas. And for the neuter, this back to the second declension, hieron type endings, lusamena, lusamenon, lusamenois, and lusamena. Nominative accusative the same, genitive and dative matching the masculine. Now let's look at the first aorist passive formation. In the masculine and neuter, the augment is dropped and the stem begins the participle, lu. The aorist passive insert, the, theta epsilon, is added, and then the third declension,
nt plus os,
endings are added to form the genitive singular. So it's
luthentos.
So the nun tau will tell us it's a participle form with a third declension. The the will tell us it's an aorist passive. The feminine is formed with the root stem, lu, from luo. The aorist passive insert is thais, theta, epsilon, iota, sigma. And then you have the first declension endings, the alpha. So it's luthesa for the feminine nominative aorist participle with the passive voice. Here's the paradigm for the first aorist passive participle. The masculine taking the third declension noun endings, it's luthes,
luthentos,
luthenti, luthenta. So you see that the nominative form with the luthes, a little tricky there, different than you'd expect, but the other ones,
luthentos,
enti, enta, exactly what you'd expect from the third declension. So just be aware that that nominative masculine form is luthes, a little tricky. The first declension, feminine forms, are as you'd expect, luthesa, luthesais, luthese, luthesan. And just the vibration back and forth between the alpha and the eta in the genitive and dative taking the eta forms, as we've seen so many times. In the neuter, it jumps back to the third declension, but again, the nominative form is the tricky one. Luthen,
luthentos,
luthenti, luthen. Again, the nominative and accusative are exactly the same, that luthen form, a little tricky. Now, the three usages and some translational possibilities. Adjectivally, it would be who was loosed. The adverbial use, temporal, would be after being loosed. And the substantive use, the one who was loosed, where the action of the verb happens to the subject there. So, first aorist passive forms. And the first aorist passive participle plural forms. Masculine, using the third declension, luthentes, luthenton, luthesi, and luthentas. For the feminine, using the first declension endings, luthesi, luthesone, luthesis, luthesas. And to the neuter, third declension endings being used, luthenta, luthenton, luthesi, luthenta. So simple 3-1-3 pattern that we're so used to seeing, just seeing the theta epsilon stuck in there telling you that it's a passive. Who was loosed? Now here are the chant forms for the first aorist participle.
Lusas, lusantos, lusasa, lusaseth, lusan, lusantos.
Repeat the active forms with me once again.
Lusas, lusantos, lusasa, lusaseth, lusan, lusantos.
To this we'll not do the middle forms.
Lusamenos.
Lusamenu, because those forms are so obvious that we don't need to learn those, but we will learn the first aorist passive forms for the nominative and genitive, realizing that you can, once you've got the nominative and genitive, you can reconstruct the rest of the paradigm.
Luthes, luthentos, luthesa, luthesis, luthen, luthentos.
And say it with me.
Luthes, luthentos, luthesa, luthesis, luthen, luthentos.
And now let's put the whole thing together and say it twice through.
Lusas, lusantos, lusasa, lusaseth, lusan, lusantos. Luthes, luthentos, luthesa, luthesis, luthen, luthentos.
And one more time.
Lusas, lusantos, lusasa, lusaseth, lusan, lusantos. Luthes, luthentos, luthesa, luthesis, luthen, luthentos.
Well, looks like you've got the aorist participle forms down. Easy enough. Now let's look at the second aorist participles. In the second aorist, you take the second aorist stem and you add the present participle endings. So we have labon from lambano, the second aorist root is lab, and then you add the present participle on ending on for the nominative masculine. The genitive form, then following the 3-1-3 pattern,
labontos,
then
labonti,
etc., just adding on the third declension endings. But notice it's the present endings are added on to the second aorist root for the participle. Similarly, for the middle,
labomenos, labomenu,
are the regular endings that you'd expect with the 2-1-2 pattern there with the
menos.
Graphes becomes
graphentos.
So graphes is the second aorist form. You add the sigma ending and then the
graphentos,
the third declension endings on down. For the aorist passive, where the phi takes out the theta, as we've seen before. The second set of verbs that we want to look at are the contract verbs. And so you have agapesas, where you have that contract form going long from the alpha to the eta. So agapesas, using the aorist endings for the contract verbs with the sa stuck in there.
And agapesantos,
where the contract stays, goes long when you add the sa in for the first aorist, which is our normal pattern when you add the sa here and there and everywhere in the first aorist. The connecting vowel for the contract verbs goes long. A couple examples of translations of this aorist participle.
Houtos akousas houti
Jesus heike ektes judaios apelthen. This one,
houtos,
after hearing the adverbial use, akousas being an adverbial aorist participle, after hearing that Jesus had come out of Judea, went, apelthen. A second translation, hoi nekroi akousousin tais phonais tu huiu, kai hoi akousantes zeisousin. The dead, the nekroi, will hear, future of akuo, they will hear the phonēs tu huiu, the voice of the son, and the ones hearing, hoi akousantes, that's your participle, your aorist participle, nominative plural, and the ones who hear, zeisousin, they will live, zao in the future, they will live. Couple translations to get you started, but the workbook will have a whole lot of examples, these fold-unders that you're probably used to by now. The vocabulary for Chapter 20. The first word is anabino, and it means I go up. The second word is arco, and it means I rule or begin in the middle. The third word,
hekastos a on,
and it means each or every. The fourth word is ekbalo, and it means I drive out. The fifth word is kago, and it means and I or but I. The sixth word is katabaino, and it means I go down. The seventh word is
malon,
and it means more or rather. The eighth word is mater, and it means mother. The ninth word is
hopu,
and it means where or since. And the tenth word is hoste, and it means therefore or so that.